Come Union, Sundays, 5 p.m. with TK the Kid. Normally I have D-Day in the building with me. My other co-hosts, Retta Bell and Ayanna Wilson. But I actually got all three of them out of the studio today. So we have our special guest, Whiskey Girl, in the building.
Hey.
Super excited about that. And then joining her and me, we got Pioneer the Poet. Both creatives, both mothers, both black women, both strong, both dope as shit. So we're going to get right into it. We always start with our affirmation, which I do not have up with me right now. Shame on me. So let me go get it. I do that type shit because Ebony's supposed to be here doing that type shit. So let's grab it and get it because we're not going to be off course. We're going to do it how we always do it. So, affirmation. I start, you guys repeat after me. Everybody at the show says the same thing. You know that, but you don't. So you with the shits? Can you handle it?
I can handle
all
it.
All right.
Depending on what. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you're going to like it. So I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. Thank you, champ. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here. And I am whole. See, that wasn't too bad, right?
I actually really love that.
That wasn't too bad, right? Yeah.
That's how we breathe after every one.
I saw that.
That line always feels so good.
Yeah, I was. I am.
I'm here and I am whole. That's my shit. That's my favorite part, honestly, about the entire thing. Every time we get to that part, it's just like feeling all warm and fuzzy and shit. But yeah, so starting the show off right with our affirmations. And then, of course, we just talk about the week. So I always start this way. So, Whiskey, how was your week this week? What did you get into or not?
I got into a lot. I guess I work from home and then I picked up the show. And so I just sit at home and I work. For hours straight. Yeah, so
that's wrong with that.
What I was up
sound like
to.
An exciting week.
Well, I'm kind of a loner.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with being a goddamn loner?
When you a loner?
Well, you know, it just came to me that I realized that with the brand and, like, Whiskey Girl being out there and stuff, people think I'm, like, life of the party and always out. And I'm like, no, I like to be alone. And I realized that I look boring. So, yeah, that's the introvert question when somebody asks you, what'd you do this week? It's like, I slept.
I'm out when I'm out and I'm in when I'm in.
I slept and I worked.
Hey, that's a lot.
But you find that about a lot of creatives. They tend to be introverted because if you think about it, when you're sharing your art,
that's all I got.
You're constantly out, you're constantly on. So
that's all I got. That's if you want the art to be good and the energy to bleed on stage, don't talk to me.
In between. So I'm in when I'm in and I'm out when I'm out.
Yeah, and don't expect me to do too much stuff. Like, I can't come to your stuff.
Right,
like,
all the time.
No.
So thank you for coming to my stuff. Because I know that coming to people's stuff is not always a thing. So
no,
I feel grateful
I got ready for this.
To have you here. I feel grateful to have you here.
No,
so,
thanks for
awesome
having
week.
Me.
Awesome week.
I love even being here.
Sometimes doing nothing is a lot.
Yeah.
When you're doing so much. So, you know, if you kicked up and...
And that's a black woman thing, because you have to allow yourself to do nothing. And then what is your definition of nothing? Because technically, I worked a lot and I was productive. But in my mind, it's like you did nothing because you didn't leave your house. But then you have to realize there's mental doing stuff. So, yeah.
And then you got mommy stuff, which we'll get into. So that don't ever end either.
Yeah.
All right, Pi. How was your week? What'd you do this week?
Oh, my week was amazing.
Amazing.
It was my birthday, and I got a chance to unplug.
Yeah.
That was
so everybody was doing nothing this week.
That's a gift, yeah.
Everybody was out here doing absolutely nothing.
I feel judgment coming from your direction.
No, because I did nothing this week, too. When it gets to my turn, I did nothing.
I want the world to know that it didn't end when black women did nothing.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
The world is still
look at y'all.
The children were still breathing.
Still thriving.
Hey, look
at y'all.
Showing off.
You know what was hard? Absolutely doing nothing.
Yeah.
Unplugging and trying to find my way around not answering to anybody, not answering the phone, not being responsible for anything. That was the hardest part of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Do you ever experience that? Or did you experience that at a point before you started making doing nothing a thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, there's only, especially with my anxiety, there's only so much I can turn my brain off. Mm-hmm. I only have, like, a low setting.
Okay. And, so it's on medium.
Yeah.
So it's always running on medium.
Yeah, and there's always, and it's just, like, me trying to redirect it to things that I want to do instead of things that, you know, I'm doing just because I feel like I have to be doing something. So it's always, like, a recalibration, like, okay, you're going to be crazy and do something.
Right.
If that, what is that something going to be? Uh-huh. Yeah, like maybe you can write. Maybe it can be like your brain going off with micro poems instead of like, you know, looking through your emails and cleaning those up and doing like work stuff.
I feel like my brain is always going off in micro poems.
Yeah.
Like always.
That's a gift.
I don't feel like I can ever turn that off.
I know. We talk about that. I have to tell you, like, stop creating. It's the weirdest advice to give.
I don't know why. It's like I wake up and they're just there.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just stop posting them. Maybe not writing them, but maybe I should stop posting them.
Why? Jill Scott said something interesting. She said, once you have the thought, once you put it somewhere, whether it's on paper, notebook, whatever, it's no longer yours.
Yeah, I'd be
so why that. Would you not? It's not yours anymore. Well, Somebody may need to hear it.
No, you. I give that advice to certain people because it seems hypocritical. Because, you know, I have my poetry page where I just do a poetry dump of micro poems, and you have some of them. But if it's distracting you from execution on the performance side or on other projects you're supposed to do, if you're writing so much and it's part of your neuroses and you can't get other stuff done,
then that's why.
Yeah, it's like you have to.
Because she's trying to have me do all sorts of shit I don't be doing. So
gotcha.
Because of that, I just be busy.
It's hard.
I do, which is this.
I'm jealous of the ability that you two have to even write micro poems. I wish my brain would micro something.
Well, you know, when you write a big poem, just chop it up into a micro poem. Like, you could do it backwards. You could cheat. Because sometimes when I don't have ideas for micro poems, I just take lines out of shorter poems and post them. Yeah.
So I've tried that, but then my brain wants to. So it'll be a finished poem. And I'll take it and take a piece of it like a piece of cake.
Yeah.
But now I want to add to it.
Yeah,
it's not
you got
to
turn that
now.
Creativity up. You got the same issue she did.
You're right.
Your creativity is going to run free and unbridled in the business side of it, in the execution side of it, the branding side of it is reining it in and trying to rein and redirect it in a way that's going to be fruitful for you and help you to feel like you're expressing, but also make sense because, yeah, just like we can't do the diarrhea dumps of poetry all the time because we also have to market it to people and it sucks. And then we're also involved in building businesses and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to make it so that you're not a slave to your creativity so you can redirect it in ways that benefit you. And that I had to make a promise to myself, take care of business as much as I put into the art.
Right.
So sometimes I'm arting too much.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm building a brand and trying to do a business and do shows, then there is a such thing as arting too much for me, unfortunately.
All right. So we're going to get into some of that. But before we do,
I be talking.
Oh yeah, and that's why we're here. This is a conversational show where you get to talk shit about shit you know. So, just so you guys know, this is what we're drinking today. Where's my camera? Here we are. We are drinking Jameson. Yeah. I told you guys we were going to trade our wine and tequila in because we got whiskey here in the building. So
we're
drinking this shit. I feel like I have hairs on my chest, but I got it.
You won't.
Listen.
I plucked them.
I'm just saying.
I think they're mine.
To go along with it.
Oh, my
God. But they're over here having the time of their lives because both of them drink that shit and I don't.
Okay. So good. I'm already lit.
Hey, be lit.
Be lit, stay lit. I've been crying on my couch all day. It's tough being a mom.
Hey, be lit, stay lit.
I'm not with my kids.
Let's talk about that. Why is it tough being a mom?
Did you feel guilt today? Oh, well, not being with your children?
Let the moms talk.
No.
I'm just drinking, sometimes.
It's not really a guilt. It's the guilt of I know what society is expecting of me, and I know the way that I mother is going to be against the grain, and I'm unbrainwashing them at the same time, and I'm unbrainwashing myself because the way I parent is like, the best I can do for you is set you up for your future. And by that, I mean, be an example of what it is to be a woman, being a single woman and having a poppin' life and taking care of my business and like caring about their emotional well-being and mine too, and them seeing how I self-care, like being an example of a woman is how I choose to parent, and shit falls by the wayside. I feel like as a black woman, they want you all up in your kids' business, soccer practice and this and band and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we gonna do that. We gonna do my shit too. We gonna do everybody's shit. It's about everybody up in here.
I think the thing that stems around black motherhood is the ability to forget yourself. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't forget yourself, they're like, how dare you? How dare you?
Well, the crazy thing is, though, I mean, I'm a mom, too. But
yes, don't make any disclaimers.
But listen, this is what I was going to say. I think that the tough part is that as a black woman, that's already the thing. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to forget yourself as a black woman.
Absolutely.
A black woman mother.
No.
Now.
You're all the way at the bottom of the totem pole.
All the way at the bottom.
And the energy it takes to rebel against that. Some days I show up like a fighter, like, fuck all y'all, I'm doing what I want, and we good.
Right.
And other days I'm sitting on the couch crying, just overthinking motherhood. Like, there are so many things that I don't want them to do, that I don't want them to feel when they're older, and I can't control any of that. So I just have to... We decided in the mom Zoom, we're just going to pay for the first year of counseling when they turn 18.
I've already asked
my 14-year-old, and she said she's okay, and I'm checking. And today she sent me a message like, thanks for checking in on our mental health. I'm like, no, I'm not playing around because, I told them, I was like, you're not going to like the way that I parent. And that's okay. I want you to understand you don't have to live life like I do. And that's totally fine.
Right.
But internally, like, I was like, and I'm going to mess you up. Like, you're going to be fucked up. I'm going to fuck you up because I'm fucked up.
I'm still figuring it out.
I'm fucked up. I'm parenting me while parenting you. It's a disaster.
Reparenting you because you're doing all of the unlearning and relearning and some learning. And then... while you're doing that, you still got to figure out how to deposit into them. So sometimes they get the good shit and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you get to get the cheesecloth and sometimes you ain't got time. You know what I'm saying? So they get what you give them.
Exactly.
But that's everybody. Even with our relationships with our parents. Our parents did the best they could with what we got, with what they had.
Oh, yeah.
In a way. You know what I mean?
I think there's an understanding you come to that. But I feel like I was 37 and I came to that understanding after a bunch of trauma and healing work.
Uh-huh.
And I want them to know now. Uh-huh. Like, I tell them now, we fucked up.
Yeah.
We ain't got it together.
Hey, that's my claim to fame. The Slim's fucked up.
Right.
All Slims. Every Slim.
That's what you need
and
to know.
And we're all Slim.
Yeah.
At some point. Slim's fucked up. And we just got to be figuring that shit out.
Yeah.
So how do they respond to that? How do they respond to you telling them that?
Well, okay. So I had a whole larger conversation.
Wait, slow down real quick. I should ask this already. You got two girls, right?
I have two girls. I have a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old.
And a 9-year-old. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So tell
different,
us about
different fathers.
Okay.
So that's a dynamic that I've tried to just be like, your sisters, like, y'all come from me, so we won't even go there. But with the conversation, especially with the pandemic, I've been kind of, breathing into them. Like, you're allowed to be imperfect right now.
Right.
Everything is confusing. It's a mess. It's scary. Like, this is what we're on. And with that, like, we've just been getting on each other's nerves in a little apartment. And then me and the 14-year-old are introverted. The 9-year-old is extroverted.
Totally turned.
Yeah. So,
totally
yes.
Turned.
So trying to find the dynamic of giving her the energy she needs and balancing the solitude that I need and then doing art stuff on top of work stuff. It's been a lot. And then finally I had to tell them because I was doing this thing where I was, I smoke in my room.
Okay.
So I shut the door to my room, and I was like, I feel like that's a barrier to get to
and
me.
And shutting the door is new, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I always shut the door because I have weird intimacy vulnerability issues that show up in weird places.
Okay.
Like, I can be a touchy-feely mom sometimes, but sometimes my anxiety gets the best of me, and I just need to go super inward.
Right.
And being an introverted, highly sensitive parent that needs a lot of solitude.
Uh-huh.
It's just been killing me. So I've been shutting the door. And sometimes I even lock it because that's where I smoke. And I was like, okay, I have to open up to them. I don't want them to feel like they can't get to me. And I understand how I am. I learned this being in romantic relationships. As open as I am and how much I love people, I can still put a wall up where you just can't get to me.
Right.
So I have to be cognizant of that with them. So I realized I had to have the conversation with them about my cannabis use.
Okay.
And about my mental health issues.
Uh-huh.
And to let them know, like, this is me attempting to let you in. So when I'm rolling up, I'm going to leave the door open and y'all can come in. Like when I'm having a mental health moment, when I'm smoking, when I'm chilling in my own atmosphere, I want y'all to be able to come in if you need me. Right. And that's kind of like the start of me opening up to like, oh, this is the real shit of who mommy is because I can't hide it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to. And that's the thing. We end up being taught that there's so many things that we got to hide from our kids, but that's like perpetuating, you know, what we all consider to be generational curses, when really we should be talking to our kids more about the things that we do so that they can understand it and ask us questions instead of finding out somewhere else because they heard about it somewhere else.
Yeah.
When they know what's going on in the house. And I think that a lot of times they become more intrigued by it because they know what's going on in the house.
Exactly.
But you're not talking to them about it, so now they're seeking it out somewhere else,
it's
online, and their
curiosity.
Friends or whatever. Right, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and deeper than that, it's a gaslight. It's like your reality becomes like, I know that there's a world happening here that I'm just not privy to, and then there's my world, and I don't know how those two things intersect. So my thing is like, mommy had a bad day. I don't have capacity for this right now. I know we said we were going to play Uno. I'm having a bad day. We'll do this instead. Or sometimes, like, I'll go to myself and recharge and feel better and then come out and be like, hey, let's do. But I want them to see me failing and just, like, not having my shit together and see me bounce back from it and, like, run shit and do my own shows. Right. I want them to see the totality of woman. That is my whole, like, soapbox about everything. Like, you're not going to consume me sexually without seeing the totality of woman, without seeing what went into this femininity. You are not going to consume me as mother based on what society is telling you mothers are. Mm-hmm. Mothers are women first.
Yep.
I need to teach you how to be a woman, because when you get older, you're going to remember how I lived as a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm also here as an emotional guide for you to help parent you and give you guidance. So it's kind of like understanding those both things and communicating to your children in a way that they understand that I'm letting you in so that you're in the know, but also you have to trust.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's like, I think children are old enough to trust and understand that what helps trust is vulnerability.
Yeah.
And telling them the truth. And it's like, mommy don't have it all together.
Right.
And to fake it would just, like, I'd be in an insane asylum.
It shows your children that you're human. There's this preconceived notion of this, oh, we're all perfect.
Yeah.
And your mama or whoever raised you was messing up, and you knew that wasn't the case, but that was what was being preached.
That's the gaslight.
All the time.
Yeah.
Every single day. Then when you do, as an adult or a young adult, make a mistake, it's like the world stops. But
right.
Wait a minute. You know, becoming a teen mom, you'd have thought I'd set the world on fire, only to find out the same person who was condemning me was also a teen mom, but was younger than I was.
And everybody be teen moms.
Like, what
everybody
happened?
Be teen
like,
moms.
What
hey, man. Everybody be teen
and,
moms.
And when you're in situations like that, it's like, I feel, especially as an artist and a person who puts my work out there, my story out there, it is my duty to tell the real story of what
Absolutely.
It is to be a mother, because then I see other mothers relax, like, oh, you've been fucking up to me too. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, like, I think it was like maybe it was before the pandemic when they did a crackdown on the immunizations and the kids, right? And I know that my family was upset, like, bitch, you ain't get the immunizations. And I was just like, that's just another thing. And oh my God, how did I not do this? So I went to Patient First, and I'm sitting there with my daughter, and we're trying to get the immunizations, and they're super expensive. And she's like, oh, you can do a payment plan. And she looked at me because she could tell I was, like, riddled with anxiety, and she's a black woman. She was just like, look. She was like, they have a payment plan specifically for this, and you are not the only one. My daughter missed school for a couple days. There were children who missed weeks of school because their parents didn't have their immunizations up to code or up to date. And it was just like, kids missed weeks and weeks of school. And,
wow.
And it was just like, we're all fucking up. Not that that makes it okay. It just means, like, maybe we should reexamine
Everybody's
the parameters of what
though.
It is to be a good parent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and stop putting those pressures on people, because a lot of the places you get it is from your peer groups of other black mothers. And it's like, other black moms should be the ones to be like, yeah, girl, settle down.
You all right?
Yeah, you all right. You listen, all right. And when you gather around and tell stories, like, listen, I had postpartum, fell asleep with the baby. I don't know how we woke up, but we woke up. and those stories are real.
It's snapback society.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to snap back. You just had this baby.
I ain't snapping
you
back.
Snap back.
Shit.
You're perfect. Everything goes into it. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, that might not be you.
But that's how people be having panic attacks and shit like that. Because you always, like, in this space where you trying to juggle so many different emotions at once to give everybody what they
need.
And
who said?
And not giving enough to yourself. And then the moment you sit down and you still, all that shit just start to pour out uncontrollably. And before you know it, you can't do shit.
You really didn't set yourself down.
Yeah.
Because now you could do nothing except face that shit. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. And it's a constant, like, reevaluating. Like, I was telling someone this the other day. It's reevaluating what you have to care about. It's the acceptance that we're black women, there's going to be a lot of our on our plate. So when you wake up in the morning, look at your day and look at what you need and being like, what's just not going to fucking happen? And I have to let go right the fuck now. Because if I wake up feeling depressed or low, I gotta take a walk. I have to do something to connect me to my body, or I might spiral out and lose time, so much time that I'm not hitting anything on the to-do list.
Girl, so it's
kind of like, let me wake up and assess my mood and breathe for a second and figure out what I need today and how do I fit that in with the shit I have to do. And then it's just like, oh my God, let some shit go. So,
you got to ABC that shit.
Some things don't get to happen. And I teach my daughters that. I told, like, my 14-year-old, she's been making principles lists every time in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, I was like, well, how do you feel about that? Was that easy? Or she was like, she said she felt pressure. And it started dawning on me that black women, black girls feel pressure at an early age. It starts younger than you think. My 9-year-old is starting to feel that pressure. It's like, that's how you excel, exceed, and improve yourself as a person in the world. And I was like, you ain't got to do shit on my ass. Like, you can bring home C's, D's. Yeah. It's a pandemic. So I was like, I want you to know that pressure is not coming from me.
Right.
Because smart is smart. Intelligence is and emotional intelligence is important.
As important.
And that's what I want to teach y'all. The difference between, like, picking up on people's energies and what you can throw away and not feel like you have to help and rescue people.
Taking
the importance of, hiding your layers. Uh-huh. You ain't got to tell. Everybody teaches women that they have to be so, like, out there and open. No, hide your shit. You don't have to be telling people all your stuff.
Business, yeah.
I do because it's part of my art. I'd be like, dad, God, I can't keep no secrets.
I'd have told that shit again.
Right, but I see how it makes me a target, and I kind of see how my personality is set up, that there are protections in there. I'm just a guarded person. And like, artistically, I'll tell you everything.
Right.
But then when it comes to getting to know me personally, it's like, I'm a little bit more guarded. That's how I protect myself against manipulation. But as women growing up, it's like teaching them those things and realizing that you're not going to be perfect, but you have to just, it's how you move about the land.
Right.
You know, that's what matters. How you move and what your foundation is. If your foundation is kindness, being gentle to people, if your foundation is authenticity, then stick to that foundation, and you're gonna fuck up sometimes. People gonna hate you.
Yeah.
But who gonna check you?
Nobody.
Nobody,
baby. You see that shit?
Jameson.
Hey, and it's plenty of it for you. A whole bottle. Just
listen,
because you're here.
Let me pour some more.
Don't forget, you coming from Prince
William
County, going back to PG. So
why you put me out there?
I mean, I'm just saying.
No, now the police all know.
I'm just saying. They on alert. They on alert. It's a red BMW, guys.
Right.
I know, for real. So look, you said you mentioned the mom Zoom. So tell us a little bit about that. Of course, I know about it, but Pi does not. The audience does not.
Oh yeah,
so
you should join.
Let's talk about you. And you're going to be telling them about yourself. I didn't introduce you in any way. They sing what they sing. For those who know who you are, they know who you are. And then as we get through the show, they'll figure out who whiskey is in all
those
layers.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Yeah. So. First and foremost, you need to know I like whiskey and I'm here to have a good time, okay?
And that's what we're going
to
do.
That's what we're going to do.
I got some crackers and stuff over there, too.
Okay, you got some. Charcuterie.
Hey, you know, it's communion. We drink and break bread here.
What'd you ask me?
I asked you about the Mom Zoom. Tell us a little bit about
that. Oh, so I run a women's network that I started maybe like 2 years ago, I think, the WGB Network. Yep. And one of the main things I wanted to do were kind of like emotional support things, because one thing I noticed is myself, when I get into a little like inkling of an abusive-ass relationship, even that little bit of love trickling into me, I was just like, powered up and ready to, like, feeling so loved. I was putting like extra work into my creativity and businesses and stuff, and I realized that Black women don't have emotional support. A lot of us, the way that we were raised is that tough love, and mm-hmm. It was through my healing journey I realized, like, tough love don't work for me. Life gives me tough love. I don't need that shit from the folks that I'm around.
Absolutely not.
I need validation, I need support, I need you got it, you yes. got it. Uh-huh. I mean, I have a friend who breathes so much life into me, and it just propels me. I was like, taking on the show I'm doing, I was like, well, I'm just worried about the business side. And he's like, you've been doing events for years. You're a businesswoman.
Right. Period.
Sometimes it takes someone to look you in the eye and be like, you got it.
Yeah.
And Black women
every
are like,
time.
Say no more, fam.
Every time.
Thank you.
Got it every time.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's something weird in us where we've learned as a peer group. I won't get into the whole white supremacy thing, but there's something we learned as a peer group to teach each other to just say negative things, to find like little ways to invalidate. And it's kind of like, it comes from like a hypervigilant, I want to make sure that you're good and safe, but I don't need that. When I'm tapped into my intuition and I'm doing what the fuck God has for me,
yep.
yes,
you can
in
say
that
fucking
way.
God in
yeah,
the same,
you
the
sure
same
can. He already
just
be knowing.
Just want to be clear.
I feel like he be rolling his eyes like, all right, I see your future. So we going, you going button up.
No, you know what he really be doing? He really be looking at you and saying, I made you, so I knew what you were going to do. So you good with me. That's what he be looking at you saying.
It is so funny. I think about all that scripture. My parents would be so like surprised. How it stayed with me, but the things I remember is God being like, come, let us reason together.
Yeah.
Like, I made your brain. I want to talk to you. And
I
want to
see
how you
it's
talk.
Working.
Yeah.
I want to see what you've done with all these things that I've done with you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But
I love
people,
that.
People won't let you be great.
People won't let you be great. Exactly. So basically, I realized that something about Black women is that we don't, when we go onto these, embark on these projects, and even with my art, my peer group wasn't necessarily like supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something I had to embark on my own. And I'm like, what if we just give women emotional support? What if we just like have meetings where we just talk about what the fuck is going on and we're real about it?
And
so,
clap for each other.
And
let
clap
each other cry
for each other.
If we have
let
to
each other, or just listen, like, girl, mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that, but okay.
That
thank
was
you
me
for
last
listening.
Week, bitch. That was me last week.
Listen, sometimes you need that. And even like holding each other accountable, that's kind of like the new thing that I'm all about, is like we're holding each other accountable when it's ugly and it's like, nah, bitch, you was late.
Yeah.
Like, not, and tripping, even tripping. Me, my assistant keeps me on track. She'd be like, I'm on the Zoom, bitch. I'm on.
Where you at? Where you at?
So it's like, when the pandemic hit especially, I was like, okay, I need to pause art because I'm out of my mind with that. But what can I do to support the arts community, to support my networks? And that's when we started doing the virtual Zooms every Sunday. We kind of stopped because I'm just one person and I had like a big April. So we kind of stopped, but I'm hoping to resume like mid-May. And it's like every first and third Sunday, there's I Know Why the Cage Bomb Drinks. Mm-hmm. From 10 to
Come
11.
On,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's on Eventbrite. I need to put up the new Eventbrite ones. But yeah, and we send the Zoom and we all just sit there and talk about what it is to be a mom. Or if you don't want to talk about being a mom, if you want to talk about who you are outside of that and just have someone listen and validate that. We talk about, like, you know, dating as single moms I thought it was cool because we talk a lot about, like, ending generational traumas and how that work is going. And we've even had women hop on who just have issues with their moms or just curious about how that work looks, hop onto the Zoom and just, like, listen to us. Because apparently it's refreshing to hear, like, Black moms have these conversations about, like, I don't want to be angry to my kids. Like, I know I'm stressed out. I know there's a lot on my shoulders. But here are the tools and tricks that I do to not yell at my kids all the time.
Right.
Well, it breeds anxiety.
Yeah. And
you
just recreate
it. You're anxious. Now you're angry. And you're yelling at them. it's literally breeding the same thing that you have. I've watched myself go into a whole anxiety attack, and I've literally watched my 12-year-old start.
Yeah.
Like clockwork. And yeah. I'm like, it's me. I'm feeding this somehow, and he's picking up on it, and now he's starting to manifest the same exact thing.
And it's a lot of pressure, and I realize that, especially in the pandemic. Like, it's funny, as an artist, you think when you do events, like, I'm curating the vibe, and then I'm like, shit, I'm doing that here, too. Like, if I'm not in a good mood, like, these little motherfuckers aren't in a good mood either.
Nobody's in a good mood.
And now it's like, I have to communicate to them that we are separate. I have to be like, here's what's going on with me. You go about your day and have fun, and I take care of me. When mommy's upset, I take care of me. When you're upset, I'm giving you the tools to take care of you. But it's kind of like always making, yes.
But I'm there to support you. My thing I always tell my children is, this is not yours to carry.
Yeah.
This is mine. Yeah. Mine alone. You don't carry this.
And how do they respond to that? You tell them that? How do they respond?
My littles, I don't really know if they can grasp that enough to get it, but my older too, because they both kind of are on the same wavelength with anxiety, with depression. They can kind of pull it into themselves and try to separate from it.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's work. It's like work.
But teaching them that work early is good, because it's real. Being black in America, being black women in America, the way we have to exist in life. And I know we always have that rhetoric where it's like, how do you talk to your sons? How do you talk to your girls? How do you talk to your children in general? And there's several layers of conversation you have to have. And the mental health conversation is a new one. And there's so many stigmas surrounding it that it's like you have to push past that stigma and let them know, first of all, what you're feeling is okay. And then second of all, identifying your feelings is a thing. And then not allowing those feelings to control you. And then you're going to be reacting to things the way your peers are not being taught to react to things. So teaching them how to stand out, because it's going to feel wrong. You feel like you're supposed to be popping off at people and doing what everybody else is doing. And it's like teaching them to march to the beat of their own drum in peace, which gives them their own internal peace. But it looks crazy, because the world is not about peace
right now.
No, it's not.
The world is like, fuck your peace, especially the peace of black women who are moms. They do not care about our peace, because the more work we take on and the more we're frazzled and anxious, the more we'll keep doing without realizing, like, oh, no.
And before you know it, you guys have done it all.
Don't ask for help. Don't want help. Don't even know how to accept help.
And that's why I love this new wave of, one, black women being nice to each other, because it's opened up the door of us being like, you got paid too, girl, let's talk about it. So you get those stories out. And then we've been going the extra mile of black women healing each other. And I'm just like, well, first of all, I'm mad at niggas, because it's just like, y'all don't want this healing, because black women are the truth. Black women are the truth when it comes to
black
healing.
Women are the truth.
You get into the orbit of their love when they make that little noise, like, you're about to care about me, aren't you? And next thing you know, I was like, I'm going to hang out by myself before this big show to get my mind right, my energy right. The woman who does my hair, she was like, call Jackie. Homegirl said, she was like, bloop, bloop, bloop. Next thing you know, I had a massage appointment. I had a makeup artistry appointment. She was like, we going to set a vibe for you before you show, because you need to be queening. And I was like, black woman.
We are a network of strength that people just always overlook and take for granted.
Yep. So give it to ourselves. Fuck them people.
And that's the thing. We've spent so much time giving it to everybody else that we have not given it to ourselves personally or our own sisters.
And now I'm selfish, because I've been giving it to me and it's lit. That's it. Ain't it? You got to be somebody special to get some of this. I'd be like.
That's what that self-love piece is all about. Figuring it out.
When we first had that conversation, I looked at you like, bitch, I'm here to love. I don't know what you're talking
about. Exactly. And that whole time, I'm like, listen, boundaries, loving without conditions, within boundaries. You're like,
the boundaries thing I got. Yeah, absolutely. It was when you were talking about loving from a full cup. Yeah. I was like, look at this. with Jazz, man, talking about how I'm coming from. And then it's like, oh, when you sit the fuck down and allow your cup to fill, you have so much to give other people.
Yeah. I've learned that the hard way, because you will be empty and they want you to pour from that emptiness.
And so here's the thing. The most magical thing about it is that the point was, when I was saying people had to love me from their overflow, and that's how I wanted to love other people, the magic around that is that your cup is so full that still, like, if my cup was full right now and you poured inside it, I wouldn't be able to determine what of that was mine or yours.
Yeah.
I just know I'm full. So there's no resentment. There's no bitterness. There's only gratitude because I remain whole. You've added value somehow. But I can't piece it apart and say that this is what whiskey gave me or this is what pie gave me, because I had the cup full when you got here. You know what I'm saying?
And so that's give from the overflow is what you were saying.
Everything is just running out and everybody gets that part.
That's what I didn't get. I was like, bitch, ain't no overflow. The cup is nearly empty. Are you fucking kidding?
That part was like, stop giving it away.
What's an overflow,
to yourself, and then once you got that shit full, let people keep depositing in if they are, but don't let nobody take shit until the cup is full.
It's the
and
champagne
let
that shit glass.
Just run, that's
you
it.
Have that champagne glass
it just
at the
running
top.
Over. Yeah. Just running pours, over pours, all the time.
Pours. And it happens naturally. You know, I think a lot of these things are harder, and that's like the work that I try to do where I find
I think
my
that's
niche
where I
is.
Fucked up. I ain't putting
is,
none of this in here.
Yeah, you gotta put some chaser in it, girl.
I'm just over here drinking the burn, mixing it with water, and you guys over here got like mixed
what you mean
drinks.
Mixing
water
it with water?
Okay.
I mean, I like I'm sipping on this nice. And sipping on this. And
oh no, do if you want to do it real, we respect that. Because I usually don't put anything in it. I feel like a real punk right now, but this is where we are.
No, I need this.
Punk party of one, and I'm okay with it.
Hey, listen.
Because we're in Kenya.
I'm just trying to hang with y'all.
Listen,
I'm just
scared.
Trying to hang with the mother. So let's talk about this show. You talked about that, so you got all queened out. How was the show? Tell the people about the show. We in VA. Show is in VA. Show is going to be in VA. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so that was really cool. April 10th, I had a birthday show. I begged for this, right? Because they normally do like a live
stream.
Shout
out to the Aries, by the way. I know we in Taurus season. We shouting out to the Tories, but shout out to the Aries, too.
Shout out to Aries. I only get buck around that season, and then I try to go in my fake, like, oh, you know, everything's peaceful. And then Aries, I'd be like, fuck everybody up in this bitch. I'm an Aries.
Aries gone wild.
Was so bad.
Aries gone crazy.
I yelled at so many people. I was like, oh, I forgot I was an Aries. Okay, cool. The birthday show was amazing. It's usually like a live stream show that they produce. Shout out to SNRD Music. I just love them.
I love them for you.
I mean, I just, men taking care of me, that's just like my thing. I'm just like, yes, help me heal these wounds of mistrust. Yeah, they approached me to do this show because they're doing like these cool like streaming shows during the pandemic, and then I was like, oh, I could do a drive-in show though, right? So I like begged to have the drive-in portion. Then I was like, shit, I gotta put the work in to get the audience. So it ended up being a really dope thing. It was packed out, and because of the level of production they were able to provide and the size of the stage, from a performance standpoint, I was able to take my like performance shit to the next level. So that was cool to be able to like find people to create a stage big enough for all the art that I have to give, because part of my pandemic work, trauma work, has been like realizing how much trauma I store in my body, realizing how, as a highly sensitive person and the person with my personality type, I soak in so much energy from other people. I have to be intentional about moving it out of my body, and thinking about how I felt so minimized and like limited to the mic. Like whenever I would go places and perform, it's like, you're in a coffee shop, bitch, don't be moving around,
right?
It's like it started to be tied to and it started to be like I'm at open mics just doing the most. And it's like, okay, so having this show, I was like, just plan it like you're fucking Britney Spears and just go ham.
Right.
So it turned out really nice. I mean, like, M. Lewis was there. Love me some M. Lewis.
Yes,
and DeBry, Devon Daniil, and I had the poetry cipher with TikTok and Glow Shines and L. Yep. So shout out to everybody. Benny and DJ Fu for hosting. So it was just like it was supposed to be like a fun pandemic thing to show artists, like, we still rocking. You can still do shit and be on stages and perform and tap into your creativity in the pandemic. And it was just like, you know, most of my events are like emotional support, mental health, or just a fucking party. And I want everybody there. I want, like, the suits there. I want the weird kids there. I want everyone there partying. So, the venue ended up really liking it, and they asked me to come do a monthly show there. So now it's Whiskey and Friends at the Drive-In.
Yeah. Dope shit. Congratulations. Thank you.
I
know the work you put
it.
In to get there. You know what I'm saying? And it takes time. You've been doing this for how long now?
I've been doing poetry since 2013, 2014, and then events since 2016 because, you know, it was really hard feeling like you're good and being alone on that island and feeling like, well, nobody's going to give me a feature, but I feel like I'm good because there's a cognitive dissonance between how the community is treating you versus how audience is treating you.
Right.
And I'm slow, so it took me a while. I'm like, people crying and shit, but I ain't getting no features. I feel like I'm better than people are portraying to me. So it was like, what does it look like if I just have my own show and I'm at open mics anyway? So if I get some flyers and just kind of tell people about my show, maybe I can bring people in and I'll just have, you know, a place for me to feature my own shit.
Right.
And it was the first time, I don't know why I felt like so. I think what it was, ironically, is that because I was a mom, I was in a situation where my brother was living with me at the time. So he was like, when the kids go to bed, you can do whatever. I don't care. So I just had like this license to be free. And it was like, I'm a mom. I don't know how long I get this pass. So I'm a hustle. And I was at every fucking open mic, meeting everybody and just feeling like I couldn't network enough to be accepted.
Right.
Feeling like there was still like some code I wasn't getting about how to get in, how to learn what I need to do to propel my brand and stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything I did, I had to figure out myself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it just felt so lonely. So with this open mic, the idea is that we offer artist support in the background. It's like, what do you need? We're coming out of a pandemic. You're returning to a big stage. What support do you need? Do you need to talk about imposter syndrome? Like, do you need to talk about marketing and how to separate that from your art so that you can put yourself out there? Like, I really look at this show as a chance, and that's why I got into hosting. It's a chance to be a nice person. It's so rare these days. It's so rare to have somebody. We've made art like a gimmick where you go to these events and it's just like, why are we here?
Right.
What's the real fucking purpose?
Yeah.
I want to be the person in the room who's always going to appreciate your shit.
Absolutely.
Who's going to be listening, who can give you feedback, who can be like, I heard you, I see you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we lose a lot in the arts. I understand it. It's really cool to be able to walk into a room all made up and be like, I am the show. Like, you get to do that as an artist. You get to be a local ass bitch in the grocery store.
And people know you. And people know you. Yeah.
Right. And there are cool things about it. But my thing is, like, it's our job to stay grounded and use this as a portal, like, to help build each other. And I see, like, the temptation to kind of, like, get that way, to be like, no, I had it hard in the paint, so fuck y'all, have it. And it's like, no. Just teach everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody should, creatives should have a safe space where they can go. And I noticed with the birthday show how people elevated because of that energy. Because the energy was just like, we're all going to be great and I can't fucking wait. Like, I cape for my artists. Like, when I have events and artists are on my bill, like, I promote them. I used to show when I had time. I would show up to their shows and I know they thought I was crazy. Especially the hip-hop dudes. I would pop up at their shows, my old ass, like, all right.
Giving them all the love.
But that's what you want to feel as an artist. And I realize I can't. I have people in my DMs and other poets trying to get me to read their stuff or do this. And it's like, I can't give my energy in that way. But the way I can streamline is by having my own show.
Right.
It benefits my brand. It's a place where I can push my performance to the next level and just have I open the show.
Yep.
And then I can take that hat off and make it about all of the people in the showcase and just host the rest of the show. And, you know, from a mothering standpoint, it's an in-town show that I can plan. And it's looking like it's a full-time job.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you're booked. Mm-hmm. Busy and booked. But that's what you wanted, right? That's what you've been working for.
That's what I've been working for.
So how does it feel to be here? I know this isn't arrived because obviously we got plenty of things to do still, but to be at this moment from where you were in 2013 and 2016. How's that feeling? Do you feel accomplished?
It feels like what the fuck is supposed to feel like, you know? Like, the conversations I have with my network is, it's not even like, I went through a point of, like, celebrating myself. I believe in, like, celebrating all the many accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm going to turn into an alcoholic because it's too many, too much Prosecco in the world. I was just like, look at you, bitch! I know! And then it was like, it gets silly.
I got up this morning. I got through work.
Your mascara lasts all day, bitch.
What's wrong with that? My lipstick didn't come off of my mask.
You only smoke 2 J's.
Oh shit.
What's wrong with celebrating everything? Absolutely nothing.
But then you know what? I've been surprised about how you make these things kind of ritual, and then they just become ingrained in you. And it's like a celebration of myself is every day. I'm always like, when I'm moving around, I'm so present now. I'm thinking like, look at your body moving, you doing shit for you. Yeah, bitch. It feels like coming into what you're supposed to do, and just kind of like everything I've been researching and studying and preparing for, it's like the one thing about God, the one thing about purpose, the one thing about something being bigger than you is that you better just be fucking ready. And anxiety has no place in that. And that's been the hardest thing, because I be trying. I want to. And my brain be like, no, bitch, you have wanted this.
Yes.
There is nothing you can do.
Correct.
Like, in the way it came was so specific. It was so like, we like you and we want you. We right. want to do something with whiskey. Right. What does whiskey want to that's do? It. I was like, right. okay. And I couldn't, you know, the self-saboteur in me. I was like, oh, my God, what do I do? No, this is too much.
Right. What do I want? Like, what do I have?
I had to snap back from that. Just like, no, bitch, you just have to step into the shit that you said you wanted. Absolutely. And I it comes from being in situations where I've seen people mess up their opportunities for what they've wanted. And I think that comes from leaning into your intuition and being able to really like look into and see people. You can see who people want to be, and you can see the obstacles it will take to get there, and you can see the points where they give up.
Yeah.
And noticing that in other people is like, I can't be that person. I said I want to heal. I said I want to take this on. I said that I have a message, and it feels like it's bigger than me. And as soon as I started to take on that thought process, I felt like God started showing me like, oh yeah, it is way bigger than you. And let me show you.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh man.
Yeah, God damn it. But for real, when you hear stuff like that and you're so used to not hearing stuff like that, sometimes that in itself is the barrier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for someone to actually say, hey, what do you want to do? I want to give you that. You know what I mean? I really love what you do, and I want to support that. When you don't have that on a consistent basis and it's not what you used to, as soon as you hear that shit becomes anxiety. That triggers it just all in itself. Even if you aren't in a position where you would fuck it up for yourself, it's just really trusting because of all of the other situations that you've been in where people have said exactly that and done the opposite. Now you know, that's where that whole too good to be false comes into play with me, like really learning. I can't remember what exactly I wrote that time, but I think you liked it. Basically talking about how, you know, you finally get everything you asked for and you treat it like it's not real. Like, why am I not worthy enough to experience such a great thing? You know what
because
I mean?
Because that's how that's people minimize.
We were being taught to be that way. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard, but like you said, it's one of those things that once you decide like, yeah, I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do. I feel like when you show up, everything you need is there.
Yeah.
When the baby comes out the womb, everything it needs is there. The air is here, everything. It's not like, you know, God is pushing you out into this world and the baby immediately has to do all this work. All the baby got to do is show up. It has everything else that it needs to do what it needs to do. So when you step into those rooms and those environments, if you are in alignment with your purpose and shit like that and doing what you're supposed to do, you know, heeding your spirit and, you know, heeding your intuition, I feel like you show up. And every single thing that you need to perform at the highest level is waiting for you right there. It's just like people with trays, like just waiting in the spirit realm, just waiting to give you all this shit. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing. It's the spirit realm, and you have to open your eyes to it. Absolutely. And we had this conversation, too, because it's always so surprised how spiritual people they are willing to get until it's time to get spiritual.
Yeah, like shit.
Yeah, and it's like, you have to open your eyes to that stuff, because when the way that people are taught to minimize you and in the subtle ways they invalidate your art and who you are, it keeps you in a state of depression where you can't open your eyes to those opportunities.
Right.
And that's why I just got to a point where I'm just like, I think I'm just going to live my life in solitude, and I ain't missing nothing, because I have emotional support, and I have my children, and I have my work, and it's not like I'm like totally recluse.
Right.
But when it comes to preserving my energy and showing up as my highest self and keeping myself unpolluted, I just got to stay away from motherfuckers, especially if you want this art.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you get nothing, because then I'm going to be all fucked up.
Yeah. And it's like, and art then, is going to happen. Art is my purpose. Yeah. And whatever I have to say is important is going to get out there. Right. And it's just like, it's redirecting your kind of value and how you look at yourself, because especially artists are so afraid to have confidence in what they do. And it's like, why the fuck not? If you know it's divinity, if you know when you're taken to a place, when you share and how people react to what you have to give, that's bigger than you.
Yeah.
So it's really not worth it to kind of minimize yourself the way other people are trying to, because when you get into competition, when you get into, I think that you're better than me, or I'm a gatekeeper and I'm gonna keep you down, you're blocking people from their purpose and from their message. This is not some like, oh, I'm cute on stage. This is like, everything that I do is a story.
Right.
The birthday show was the story. That was my healing. That was not the same whiskey that you're used to seeing on stage.
And I was like, my nigga is up there like getting this shit. She's getting this shit. Okay.
To show up like that is a privilege to have stepped into, to be like, I'm not doing imposter syndrome anymore, because that's just hindering the message I have to say. How am I going to talk to women about self-love, about healing and stuff? And
I'm not showing up with it.
Excuse me. If you love yourself, you can be just as timid as I am.
but for real, like going back to what you said about the whole spiritual thing, and everybody is spiritual until it's time to get spiritual. I think part of the problem is that people are learning to kind of bridge that gap between religion and spirituality, and in religious organizations and shit like that, there's so much control and governing there.
There's a lot of things that
people are saying there that they don't believe. It's a different form of ritual. You know what I'm saying? So you say a lot of greater is he that is in me and blah, blah, blah.
It's by rote.
That stuff is in your head and not in your heart.
It's scary as fuck to go down. That I can't believe I'm talking about this, because in my healing journey,
everything.
I know, that's why I should come
everything.
On your fucking show.
I know, because we talk about everything.
Because I've recently starting to dip my toes back into talking about the fact that I am a Christian, and that what I do is that, because I have so many spiritual women who are attracted to me, and I have to be so hard with my assertive, like, I'm not into that.
Right.
It's Jesus over here, sorry. But then it's like, I'm not a dick about it. Like, I'm going to still have my titties out and have fun. So it throws people off. And then once you say that you associate with God, Jesus, you're a Christian, then people start putting you in a box and judging you. And it's like, wait, spiritual bitches, you aren't judging yourselves by the same standards.
Correct.
Like, you don't know my personal relationship with whatever I have going on with my higher self and my God.
Right.
And what I did is, when I started getting more into the healing space and being accepted there, I had to do work to be accepting of people who are on the same path but believe different spirits.
Absolutely.
Because my background is like, that shit is pagan. Like, oh, y'all going to hell. But I did the inner work.
Yeah.
And I did the inner work to understand and recognize that what my boundaries are, where I won't go, but we're all on the same path.
Absolutely.
And how we can all walk together. But then it's like, when I'm ready to bust out and talk about my God, you bitches better
let me do it because I
do the same for you. And this is part of my story. And it's really...
And in a way, isn't everybody talking about the same God, just different?
And that's how I feel.
That's my perspective.
I feel that way about, like, Nation of Islam, like Muslim culture. I feel that way about certain, where the foundation is love. I do have trouble when it gets into, like, curses on people and stuff like
that. But that's wild.
Yeah. I feel like it's more like... especially with what I believe and what I have seen in my life, I ain't got to curse nobody. I just remain unbothered, and shit happens the way it's supposed to happen because I be getting my karma too.
Yeah, like shit, karma is a principle.
There's dark and light and everything.
Absolutely.
That's just the way balance works. If you think of yin and yang and everything that goes with balance, there's always going to be dark. There's always going to be light. So you'll have those people that will dwell in dark because that's all they know.
Yeah.
And like, that's what feels comfortable.
Right.
And I get them. That there's a part of me that is very in touch with dark. Like my stuff is very dark. And because I'm in touch of how deep and dark that humanity and myself goes, then that allows me to be a light. So it's kind of made me realize that when you are a light, how much darkness you attract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how much you have to be cognizant of it. But it's like, when I realized that, it's like waking up 4 a.m. and surprisingly, like, listening to gospel music and just crying. Like I feel like this is what God wants me to do. And it's weird because if I'm going to do it, I have to be aware of the spiritual factors.
Yeah.
If you go into healing, if you go into speaking about sickness, then you have to talk about the fact that there are empaths who pick up energy and there are empty people who just pick up whatever because they're searching and they're dangerous people and they don't even know it. And that stuff you have to be hip to. No one wants to have those conversations. Nobody. Except like the people who are in kind of the darker arts that I'm not into. And I'm just like, I don't really want to have this conversation.
Right. I don't want to talk to you about this shit. You know what I'm saying?
But that's guarding what you put into yourself spiritually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that, I mean, and that's what the word tells you to do, right? You know what I mean?
I'm not going
to
disrespect you, but I don't want to fill myself with that.
And I'm not going to. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to. Yeah. I'm going to separate myself in that way. But that mean that goes back to taking the meat and leave the bones. I mean, I feel like there's an appreciation in everything.
Darkness don't do and that light.
And, but you gotta decide what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For you. And I always say, you know, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So I'm not gonna push anybody aside. Everybody got something for me. You know what I'm saying? Everything is an opportunity to propel me forward, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
From the bottom to the top, the darkest and the lightest. I can get something out of everybody because
that's
the
humanity.
Way my yeah, pretty much. And here's the thing: you were born to do just that. Any person you meet, talk to, you know, stand next to at any moment, you should be able to take something positive from them.
Or not even positive, just understand what it is and its purpose. And that part is hard too. It's like the closer you're able to like tap into your intuition and like read people and understand, like that DMX quote, just what did he say? Like, just know that don't trust people, but trust your ability to read them.
Right, absolutely.
And it's kind of like the same thing. I've even, like, because my issue, especially coming into the creative arts community, was being judgmental. That was just the name of the game. That's how I grew up. But I've worked on that, and now I've been able to release judgment, but it's still, like, using the discernment. It's just like, oh, I just don't vibe there. And that's okay, and I don't need to know why. This is not Nancy Drew, you know, why don't I fit in?
We don't belong everywhere.
Absolutely.
And as an introvert, I'd be pressed not to belong. I'd be like, oh, no, the vibe ain't right. I better go home.
Here's the thing. You should be able to thrive anywhere, but that don't mean that you would vibe everywhere. That's just it. You know what I'm saying? Once I'm in the room, I'm going to have to do everything that I have to do in order to survive this room. And I'm going to survive by thriving in this room.
Yeah.
But any room that I see is not for me, I can choose not to go inside. Once I'm inside, though, I got to figure this shit out. You know what I'm saying? And
so that's just the way it is.
Oh, right. Yeah. And sometimes figuring it out is leaving.
It's leaving.
Yeah, but sometimes getting into a room, sometimes you can't leave. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do right here. And in those moments, you're just going to have to sink or swim. And we're going to swim because that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Y'all want to take a break? Can you set us up for a break? Thank you. So we're going to take a break real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk some to Whiskey ice. About some of this shit she got over here on her side. She brought a book with her. She's going to talk about some of her other projects. Yeah, but they should know about books and where they can find them and where they can buy them, because you got books, because you're an author out here in these streets. We're going to talk about Little Tapes. We're going to talk about all of these things that you do. We're going to talk about all these things that you do when we come back from the break. Give you an opportunity to eat some of this cheese.
This cheese is funky. That's how you know it's good.